And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. You're listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network from Shuswap Lake to Kootenay Lake Ferry and all points across the province. This special Summer Sizzler Edition features more discussions at the Vancouver International Wine Festival this year. We had so many exciting guests come by our stage, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk to some of the very best that we had a chance to speak with about their wines and wineries. It's pretty much peak summertime this week, with average temperatures in July in Osoyoos averaging around, let's say 31 degrees. It's a beautiful time of the year across the province, so I've come up with some ideas that should fit well for your time on the deck, the patio, or dipping your feet in the water in Lake Cowichan. Here are my best bets so far for rosés, summer deck, summer patio rosés. I've got five for you. Corselet's Oracle Rosé from the Similkameen Valley. This is a fantastic pink wine. You're going to love the floral notes, the mineral notes, the stony notes of the Similkameen. La Stella, La Stellina. This is a lovely wine. Severin Pint gives us this wine from the Osoyoos Lake East Bench. Corey Kriebel has done an amazing job with her 2022 Mission Hill Reserve Rosé. You won't want to miss that, with all its sort of floral and dry fruit complexities. Just a fantastic wine with bits and bites of food later in the day. Seven Directions Tractor and Vine Vineyard Pinot Noir Rosé has been in our top 10 list since they started making that wine. It's very hard to get, but worth hunting down. And finally, Michael Barche has a new Pinot Noir Rosé from Barche Brothers that he's made exclusively from Pinot Noir, and it's a winner off the Black Sage bench. Well, there you have it. Enjoy your time with friends and family, and maybe an excellent rosé on the deck this spectacular summer week on the international show. Today, Jose Luis Navarro, he's the export area manager for La Rioja Alta. Maylee Sosa joins us. She's a brand ambassador from Bodega Garcon in Uruguay. And Frederick Chaudière, he's the proprietor and winemaker at Chateau Pesky, just under Mont Ventoux in the south of France. And speaking of deck rosés, one rosé we didn't mention is from Oregon, and we have the winemaker here to talk about it. That's Leah Adin, winemaker for Arath Winery in Oregon, who joined us on the stage at the Wine Festival. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi. Presented in part by Therapy Vineyards and Inn, with five luxury suites in the heart of Naramata wine country. Online at therapyvineyards.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate High Altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this summer. After a day full of activities, stop in for a visit to one of the almost 100 area wineries. Bask in the beautiful South Okanagan sunshine with a summer wine tasting and find your new favorite wine. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants and enjoy patio season too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing summer getaway. Before you go, make sure to check for information on wine tours, winery events, and help in planning your trip online at visitpenticton.com.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tin Horn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Miradoro Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tin Horn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated Conference and Event Center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC. We're back across the province and worldwide on our weekly podcast. As we take time like you to celebrate the summer weather this week, we look back at some discussions we had at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. This chat was with winemaker Leah Adint of Oregon's Arath Winery. For Leah, the love of winemaking has taken her worldwide, giving her unique experiences. She's worked in viticultural and winemaking positions in California, Australia, France, Switzerland, Washington, and Oregon. I wish I had been in all those places with her. Leah graduated from Washington State University with a bachelor's degree in viticulture and oenology, and eventually went on to earn a master's degree in oenology at the University of Adelaide in 2012. During her 5 years abroad, Leah has worked one harvest in Burgundy, one in Central England, one in Switzerland, and after living in Australia for, let's say 5 years now, Leah returned to the U.S. and joined Chateau St. Michel, well-known Washington winery, in July of 2015, and then moved south to become a member of the Arath winemaking team. Here's our conversation with Leah. First time we met. Great to meet you.
Lovely to meet you, too, Anthony.
I was saying that I had your rosé a couple weeks ago and just blew me away, and now I'm just smelling it again. What fantastic wine. We'll get to it, but it's exciting to have wine like this now.
It is.
Rosé like this.
It's exciting to have wine all the time, right?
Used to be crazy colors and weird smells, and now it's so beautiful. Anyway, let's start with Arath. Why are you at Arath?
Well, it was a great opportunity that was too good to pass up.
Yeah.
But part of that opportunity was, you know, Dick Erath was a true pioneer.
Yeah.
In Oregon.
Totally.
And you know, a little moment for him as he just recently passed away.
Yeah.
But, you know, a true pioneer that, you know, there's only been two other winemakers, Dick Erath and Gary Horner, and now myself. And that's, it's a little intimidating to think about as I say it, but it's such an amazing opportunity to continue this legacy.
It's almost like a cult winemaking community in Oregon. Like,
it
it's
is.
A very tight knit group.
It is, and there's people who have come from the technology industry who found their passion in wine. There's
yeah.
people who are doing it in their garage and just figuring out how to make it work. And you know, and there's a good community of people who want to see others achieve greatness
yeah.
at the same time.
And you told me you make wine because you don't know how to do anything else.
It's true. It's all I've ever done.
That is so great. Oh, well. What do you like about Oregon, say, just in general? What is it that you like about the place?
I mean, I love Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost. I love that I get to make sparkling wine from Pinot Noir.
Okay.
I get to make rosé from Pinot Noir, and I get to make a whole range of reds from Pinot Noir, from
yeah.
the lightest, most approachable style to that kind of funky, earthy-driven style to
mm-hmm.
really fruit-forward styles. It's, you know, it's such a fun grape to work with. There's so many different ways you can take it.
Yeah. And do you covet Pinots from around the world, or do you get to
yes.
try them?
Oh,
yeah.
yes.
And whose Pinots do you love?
I mean, it's hard to not say Burgundy,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
They're there. But I spent a lot of time in Australia, and I was really impressed with not just the Yarra Valley, but down in Tasmania.
Oh, yeah.
Some beautiful expressions
yeah.
of Pinot Noir down
yeah.
that way.
That's really taking off in Tasmania.
Yeah.
And New Zealand's always had a pretty strong program.
Absolutely.
When Different style, but...
Yeah. I mean, Central Otago, that's another incredibly stunningly beautiful region.
Yeah. You're not too far from us in the Okanagan. Things are happening there with Pinot up
That's
north.
That's right. I tasted some at lunch today.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So you're catching up. Well, let's start. You brought a couple of wines. I want to talk a bit about this rosé. You know, everybody's making rosé, but they're not making it like you. What are you doing?
You know, I'm going to go back to the grape. You know, I think if you talk to the accountants, it's hard to get Pinot Noir rosé because everyone wants to put it in that big, heavy red bottle.
Yeah.
But It is such a perfect rosé grape. It's got the acidity. It's got the freshness. The 2021 that we have now was the perfect vintage of a warm season, an early season, but it maintained that acidity. So 100% Pinot Noir rosé. You know, we farm it for rosé. We pick it for rosé. Everything we do is with intention.
It's a little Provençal, too. I really like some of the way that it, the nuance in this wine. And then when you think it's going to be, it's ripe or whatever, it's dry.
It is.
So then it's just have this beautiful, dry, you know, bring me some food finish.
That's, I mean, everything I make, I want it to be delicious on its own. But I'm thinking about meals. I'm thinking about who you're having it with, the family, the friends, you know, the first course, the second course.
Yeah. That's a lovely wine.
Thank you.
So should we drink it every year fresh or keep it? Or what would you say?
I want it fresh, right? I want
Me too.
I like that, almost that little effervescence, that little zest in there.
Yeah. And what would you serve with it, do you think would be? What do you have, a favorite?
You know, I go to like a strawberry kale salad. I have a pizza oven at home, so I pair everything with pizza.
I like that.
You know, maybe like a nice soft cheese might be nice as well, because it is nice and dry.
Maybe we have some very, very famous spotted prawns in BC.
There you go.
Spot prawns, and they are really amazing.
Yeah.
So they're so delicate. You can cook them like in 10 seconds in hot water, and it's a perfect match. I think it would be great with that.
Absolutely. I actually grew up in Alaska, so everything, if it's not pizza, it's usually seafood on my dinner table.
Leah Aiden, she's a winemaker at Arath Vineyard, and we're talking about Oregon Pinot Noir now, and we're switching over to a rather famous label. Many of us know Arath because Dick actually came up here a long time ago, close by. What do you feel any pressure there, or what? Like, is there a style, or can you be your own style? I know it just comes from a place, but how would you? How do you get into making Pinot Noir?
It's both, right? There is pressure, I think, because there's such a legacy and a history and people who, you know, this might be the first Pinot that they've ever had, or it's their staple, and I want to respect that. You know, I don't want to come in and change things overnight, but I want to have a little influence over time. I'm not, you know, I'm in it for the long haul.
But you're not supposed to do anything when you make Pinot, but you got to do something, right?
Oh, you got to have a little fun in there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So what do? You pick the grapes. How do you get involved at harvest and bringing in? What are all the decisions that you quickly make, sort of?
To me, the most important decision is the day that you pick it.
Yeah.
You know, you can never take that back. You can never put the fruit back on the vine.
Yeah.
So nailing that is...
So that's an eating, chewing, walking, tasting decision?
Every day, looking at chemistry, but we really pick on flavor, you know,
because
if you need to, you can adjust chemistry sometimes, or you can blend things later to adjust that, but you know, that fruit, that palate weight, the richness, the ripeness of the berries, that's...
Did that process scare you at the start, or was there a time when it just flipped over where you got comfortable, like, going in the vineyard to decide when to pick grapes?
I think... Fortunately, and I'm glad that most universities are set up this way, that you have to do your vineyard internships first.
Yeah.
And you can do those over the summer. So you actually, you know, just watching the grapes grow every single day and realizing, seeing those changes, because if you're walking vineyards, you're tasting grapes. And So I'm very fortunate, and I think that really is the right way to do it, to learn the grapes first and then learn the wine.
Yeah. This wine is just delicious. So savory. I love that character in it.
Yeah, thank you.
But the texture is nice, too. I mean, Pinot, for me, is a mouth wine, mostly, if you get it right. And what about the other wine, the other Pinots, the other clones? Like, what are you working with there that's most exciting?
So we've got, you know, we have our two estate vineyards, one in the Dundee Hills, and that's that bright cherry, very soft, velvety tannins, you know, everything that's where Dickie Rath started, right in the Dundee Hills and the Chehalem Mountains. And then we have a second property in the Ool at Amity Hills.
Mm.
And that's a little bit darker, a little bit more tannin right up front, a little more aging necessary. So, you know, if it's not harvest, that's my favorite time of year. It's the blending process. It's seeing how all these different vineyards come together, the different experiments we did come together, you know, getting those layers of the earthiness, the savory characters, the upfront fruit characters.
Well, you brought two delicious wines today, and you'll be pouring wines for people coming down to the festival or who don't get down to the festival. They need to look for these wines, which are available here in British Columbia now, so that's kind of nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, will you come back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is my fourth time to the Vancouver Festival. I love it. Yeah. It's a great time.
So great to catch up with you and to taste these wines today. The Erath 2021 Rosé, which is $28.99, and the Estate Selection Pinot Noir is $46.99 and available in private and select wine shops and government stores across British Columbia. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
That was Leah Aiden. She's a winemaker from Erath Winery in Oregon. There's plenty more to come today. You can listen to the show on the radio or on demand on all the major podcast platforms. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi. Presented in part by Therapy Vineyards and Inn. With five luxury suites in the heart of Naramata wine country. Online at therapyvineyards.com.
It ain't easy being number one. And it ain't too modest either. Indulge in your next tomahawk steak at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Voted Kelowna's second best steak and second best fine dining establishment. We hate to brag, but that's an awful lot of modesty. Book your table now at www.modestbutcher.com. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See ya today.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Aaron Krebda, the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Aaron, do you have any suggestions on what to check off your bucket list before summer ends?
I do, Anthony. I would suggest you experience a show at Thunderbird Show Park. Tickets are value-priced. It's one of North America's premier equestrian facilities, hosting 9 weeks of globally recognized hunter and jumper tournaments per year.
Well, that's interesting. And if watching the equestrian events inspires you, can you ride horses in Langley?
Yes, you definitely can. There's several companies in South Langley that offer trail rides on the many trails within our local parks. Some trails are even dedicated as horse and rider only.
All right. What else would be on your summer bucket list?
I think summer isn't complete without some ice cream. Fort Langley has a variety of shops and you can wander down to the Fraser River to enjoy. Many of our local farms serve great options, and I recommend trying some goat milk gelato at Milner Valley Farms. And while you're there, you can say hello to their herd of very cute goats.
Well, that's unique. So we have horses and ice cream so far.
Yes, and on the theme of cute animals, two other spots come to mind. Many people are not aware that the incredible conservation and education work that the Greater Vancouver Zoo does. And then just down the street, you have the opportunity to see alpacas at Kensington Prairie Farm, and you can book a tour or the unique opportunity to walk an alpaca.
And Langley has such a variety of local farm options.
We really do. Try visiting a local berry farm. You have the option for you-pick or to grab plots that are ready to go.
And all these details will be on your website.
That's right.
Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. I'll talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC. We're back, and we can't thank you enough for joining us today. We hope you're taking time to celebrate this great summer weather. And while you do, we reflect on some compelling discussions we had at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. Up next, Frederick Chaudière. He's the proprietor and winemaker at Chateau Pesky. For 50 years and three generations, the Chaudière family has been working the land and the earth underneath Mont Ventoux. In fact, they're probably the most instrumental people to have developed the AOC of Ventoux. which is now widely recognized. And, of course, their vineyard is certified organic by EcoCert. So these guys got it going. Alex and Frederick Chaudier, they're the latest generation in charge of this estate. They tend the vines according to biodynamic principles with care and precision. Pesky sits under Mount Ventoux. That's 25 kilometers long, 15 kilometers wide, and it peaks at 1,912 meters above sea level. It's also listed, get this, as a biosphere reserve by UNESCO in 1990, and more recently as a regional national natural park, and it has earned the nickname of the Giant of Provence. Now, if that doesn't want to get you to listen to this interview, nothing will. Here's our chat with Frederick Chaudier.
Great to see you.
Thanks, Anthony, for joining us. I thought we'd have a little, let's say we'll have a master class on Mont Ventoux wines. How does that sound?
That sounds really good to me.
So let's start with Pesky.
Music to my ears.
Where is it? Tell our listeners where you're from and how you're set up there.
Well, Chateau Pesky is a family estate, and we're based in the southeast of France, in the south of the Rhône Valley.
Yep.
In a small AOC called Ventoux.
Yeah.
And it has been named after the Mont Ventoux. You know, people that follows the Tour de France will know a little bit where it is. It's kind of a legendary stage of it. But what it comes down to is that we're kind of, so southeast of the Rhône Valley, half an hour east of Châteauneuf-du-Pape.
Yeah.
But higher up.
Yeah.
It's really the combination of the elevation and the influence of the mountain that makes our terroir what it is. And so we have a cooler climate, and this is very much the DNA of Ventoux. Mm-hmm. Brightness, freshness, cool climate.
And you and your family are farming it in a very special way.
Well, it's a three-generation operation.
Yeah.
My grandparents started it in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And then Paul and Edith, my parents, took it over in the mid-80s. And now it's my brother Alex and I who are running it. It's been close to 20 years now. Years are passing.
Wow.
And one of the first thing we did when we took over was organizing the move from sustainable to organic.
Yeah.
So the first plots that were certified were in 2007. Mm-hmm. And since 2015, we've been experimenting biodynamic practices.
Wow.
First for 20% of the estate, and quickly for all of it.
Yeah.
So since 2019, all the estate is kind of certified by Demeter.
Yeah, I know that it's super complicated to explain, but how could we easily say something to consumers who buy a biodynamic wine? What is it that they're buying into?
That's a very good question. I'm still trying to figure it out, but but if I were to try to make it simple, I think there's nothing. At least the way we look at it is not at all esoterical. It's rather the contrary. It's very much about observing more the vines and following more what's happening in the vineyards.
Yeah,
and we've basically adding a few things. A few practices to organic to make sure that we'll have a more balanced soil and a healthier vine.
All right.
But, you know, there's no revealed truth, or we are not in contact with whatever.
But it's good for you and your kids and everybody working in the vineyard, and it's a healthy environment. I think we can say that.
That was the key of moving to organic.
Okay, well, you mentioned the Rhône and Ventoux. Let's talk about the grapes that are important to you and what you're growing there.
Well, you know, we're in the Southern Rhône, so we're kind of crazy blenders.
Yeah.
We have so many white and red varieties, and we actually do a little bit of rosé as well. But to summarize, let's say that despite the fact that we're very much in the south, I like to see us as a crossroad between Northern Rhône and Southern Rhône.
Yeah.
So the Northern Rhône varieties, Viognier and Roussanne, are still very much at ease in the south, with Clairette and Grenache Blanc or Bourboulinque, which are really like the Southern Rhône varieties.
Yeah.
And for reds, it's a little bit the same. A lot of Syrah, Northern Rhône, but still fresh and balanced. And Grenache, the king variety of the south.
Yeah.
Cinsault, Mourvèdre, Carignan, Marcellan.
The sleepers.
There's a lot of varieties happening in the area.
Okay. Well, you make a number of wines. So today you brought, I would say, how would we describe the Terrazas? It's kind of like a flagship, at least for consumers, their entry into Pesky.
It would exactly be the word I would use. It's been an ambassador showing how much value and complexity and terroir and in the same time accessibility we can find in the wines from the Ventoux.
Yeah.
It's a quintessentially Southern Rhone blend, 60% Grenache, 40% Syrah.
Yep.
But kind of with a lift, you know, that is brought by the elevation, the influence of the mountain. So, yeah, very much an ambassador for us.
Yeah, and you can buy this wine. I mean, you can drink this wine now, but you could also age this wine for, 5 or 7 years. I think it would be just fine.
Easy. Yeah. It's, I mean, I can't promise it's going to become crazy after 20 years, but it does have an impressive ageability. And this is a 2020, which really has both like the sun and the freshness. It's a great example of a vintage.
I love when you say the sun. You can taste the sun in it. The spice.
Yeah.
And the freshness. It's all wrapped up in one.
And we tried to keep like very bright fruit. There's no oak at all. It's concrete, a bit of stainless steel.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have all the brightness that our mountain can bring in the wines.
How old are the vineyards that these are coming off of? Are they
the average age would be about 30 years. There's some younger vines, some older ones.
Yeah.
It's kind of the estates blend, if I can say. Our soil are mostly characteristic by limestone.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of clay, a little bit of sand, a little bit of marl, and it. Somehow we as much blend soils than varieties in this wine.
Right.
And you get all the complexity thanks to that.
Our guest is Frederick Chaudière. He's a proprietor and winemaker at Château Pesky in the, do we say the Eastern Rhone or how?
Well, southeast of the Rhone. Ventoux. We say
Ventoux. Yeah, Ventoux. There we go. Let's stick with that. okay, Frederick, you brought another wine that we should discuss here called Artemia.
This is a very different one. Well, first of all, it's more on the Syrah side. And it is one of our three single vineyards.
Yeah.
So I wanted to show kind of two different faces of what we can produce in the Ventoux. It's a much more complex and ambitious wine. It's a cuvée we started in 2004. This is the 2019 vintage. But I was telling you that somehow we're in the crossroad between Southern Rhone and Northern Rhone. Well, this is a good example of how northern we can be in the Ventoux. So 80% Syrah.
It smells northern. Sorry, it smells northern to me.
It definitely, you have that kind of graphite and kind of bacon-ish element. 80 Syrah, 20 Grenache.
Wow, that's so delicious.
Thank you. It's a strange plot. It's one of the most elevated on the estate at 400 meters, and it always has this distinctive Syrah character.
And I imagine it's different because if it's a single vineyard wine, then every year it's, you know, there's something, it's not the same. It's not like a blend that you can keep the style the same.
It is a challenge, but in fact, the terroir is so powerful that, of course, in different way with each vintage, it's a very distinguishable taste.
Yeah. We've been talking about red wines. Of course, Pesky has a number of white wines in the market. There are a lot of fun wines here, including one named after your daughter.
Juliette. Yeah, the Cuvée Juliette, indeed.
Which is a fun wine. And a rosé now.
Yes, we have the Quintessence Rosé.
Yeah.
These two wines, so the Cuvée Juliette is named after our little girl. So we're two brothers, but my brother had two sons. I had one son. There was too many boys in this
family. Too many boys.
Finally, 3 years ago, Juliette came along. And so one of the rewards was a cuvée. It's a claret-driven white wine. And the last birth, let's say, after Juliette was Quintessence Rosé, which is a kind of gastronomic rosé, a rosé you can keep and age, Mourvèdre driven, with a little bit of cinsault and claret, fermented in concrete egg, and a 600 liter barrel.
Yeah.
So Yeah, not your usual.
It's a complicated little girl.
No doubt. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
One.
Shadow Pesky, folks, you can buy this one. Is widely available in British Columbia. It's $21.99. You'll find it in a number of government liquor stores. And then all of the other lineup is available in select private wine shops in BC. And of course, you're selling wine across Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Quebec, Ontario. But BC has been a very good market for us for a very long time. Thank you, Vancouver. Thank you, BC, for being so supportive to us.
Great to catch up with you. Will we see you in the next Tour de France? Or do you just stand by the hillside as they drive up?
I was maybe from afar, but definitely not on the bike. I've been making progress, but I'll never achieve that kind of...
That hill's pretty steep.
No, it's impossible.
How high is Mont Ventoux?
1912 meters.
Wow. Yeah, which is a wine. You make a wine called 1912.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Frederick, great to see you.
Anthony, thank you so much for having me today.
Thanks for a little masterclass in Ventoux. We need it.
Anytime.
Yeah. That was Frederick Chaudière. He's from Chateau Pesky. You're listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi. Presented in part by Therapy Vineyards and Inn, with 5 luxury suites in the heart of Naramata wine country. Online at therapyvineyards.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
Plan your family road trip this summer to Penticton. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and make sure to mark your calendar and then head for Peach Fest August 9th to 13th. 5 days of free family fun, including parades, live music, entertainment, carnival rides, sports, delicious food, and more. Penticton is the ideal destination for a summer getaway with the whole family. Before you go, make sure to check the website for lots more upcoming events at visitpenticton.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back, and we hope you're enjoying this fantastic summer weather. We're looking back at some of the best discussions we had at the recent Vancouver International Wine Festival. This talk is with Maile Sosa. She's the brand ambassador for Bodega Garzón. I first tasted this elegant wine, Garzón, at the big German trade show in Provine, and I couldn't get over it. It inspired me to go and visit the winery, which is simply an amazing place. It's just the grand vision of Argentine billionaire Alejandro Bulgaroni, who chose to plant an immense 240-hectare estate from scratch across the granitic hillsides of Maldonado. That's about 20 kilometers inland from the very cold Atlantic Ocean in Uruguay. He and his wife oversaw the project and his longtime friend and Argentine wine business partner, Carlos Polenta, got involved. Money was never an issue, but getting the right people to build and run Garzón was always the game. And they went big. They hired prominent consultants, winemaker Alberto Antonini, rock star geologist Pedro Parra, and Uruguayan winemakers Herman Bruzzoni, and agronomist Eduardo Felix as the viticulturalist. And it was the combination of culture and knowledge of these people in the that brought this amazing strength to Garzón. And as a result, everyone brought out what Antonini loves to call valuable intelligence rich with local knowledge. It's the kind of wine-growing data Antonini takes for granted in Europe, where it's been passed down for centuries but is very rare in the New World. Here's our chat with Maley. She's going to invite you to go to Uruguay.
Thank you, Anthony. Thanks for having me. I was making the numbers, and it's been my fifth wine fest with Garzón representing Uruguay.
That's so fantastic.
That's a pleasure.
Wow. You're 39 behind me, but you're young enough to catch up, I think. Well, let's start with Garzón because it's such a great property. Tell us a bit about it. People don't know a lot about Uruguay and wine and Garzón for sure.
Well, this magnificent, beautiful, state-of-the-art winery, as I said, it's a state-of-the-art. You need to visit and experience Garzón to really understand the magnitude of this winery. 11 miles away from the Atlantic Ocean, 18 kilometers, granitic soils. Nobody explored this area much before until Garzón. So it's LEED certified, 100% sustainable. And with a restaurant in place, more than 20 different grape varieties, it's everything is there. You need to go and...
So, like 18 kilometers inland from the cool Atlantic Ocean, it's not hot there. I mean, maybe for a very short period of time. So that cold air has quite an effect on... that's a great place to grow grapes.
Absolutely. These two factors, the granitic soils and the influence of the Atlantic Ocean... They say romantically, a cool breeze from the ocean. It's a wind, Anthony.
Yeah.
It's a wind from
it's
the ocean.
Yeah.
Helps in the summer, hot summers.
Well, it's quite a famous coastal towns there where people go for holidays. I mean, they're 10 times their normal size or something during the tourist season? Or?
It's crazy. Uruguay is a country that thrives with tourism.
Yeah.
And we are very close from a beautiful hippie chic town called Jose Ignacio.
Yeah.
You can have some Albariño that we are going to taste in a while just in the ocean.
Yeah.
Feeling the cool breeze.
Feeling the cold breeze and the fresh seafood. Yeah.
But Punta del Este is very close too.
Yeah. Well, Uruguay does have a history with Tanat, but your Tanat is not like the old Tanat.
No.
It's a completely different product. When I tell people to try it, they're quite shocked by the wine. So let's talk a little bit about the winery, the winemaking, the philosophy of the wines there.
Well, the philosophy is brilliant. Mr. Alberto Antonini, our winemaking consultant, gave us, we call it the five no's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We talk about the five no's.
Yeah.
No chemicals of synthesis.
Yeah.
No overripe the grapes.
Yeah.
No over-extract.
Yeah.
No over-oak. All the oak that we use is untoasted or has no character. The glass doesn't give character. And no winemaker imprint.
Yeah.
So basically what you're tasting when you taste Garzón, you taste the land. There are wines with a very big sense of place.
Yeah. And it's, for people who don't know, like these hillsides, is there 1,500 single blocks that they look at through a growing season?
Oh, yeah. From the winemaking point of view, it's really crazy because we have 200 hectares, everything owned by our family, and divided in 1,500 little plots. So it's like having little vineyards within a vineyard, which it's great.
Yeah.
When you blend and you play with the blends.
Well, I've been writing about these wines. You'll read about it next week, but maybe you could help us out. There's several tiers at Garzón. So what do we see here in Canada? What are some of the tiers that we'll see here now or the levels of the wine?
I'm so jealous because you in Canada have it all. You have the entry level, which is our the Corte wines.
Yeah.
And you have the Cabernet de Corte. Then you have the Reserva.
Yeah.
Single vineyard.
Yeah.
And then for the first time in the festival, we have the Balasto.
Yeah.
Which is our only blend.
Yeah. So I want you to talk about Belasto, because we don't know that wine. It's just arrived in Canada.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the only blend that we make. It's an icon wine that represents what the harvest is in the year, the quality and everything.
Yeah.
It's a blend of Tanat, which is our main grape, 40%. But the peculiarity that has is that it's released by Place des Négociants in Bordeaux every single year with Opus, Seigneur, Almaviva.
Uh-huh.
So it's an icon wine.
It's an icon wine.
And that
wine
changed the history of my country.
But it's not all Tanat.
No.
It has, what else is in it?
It's mainly Tanat, but then it has Cabernet Franc as our second important grape variety.
Yep.
So it's Tanat, Cabernet Franc, a little bit of Petit Verdot, Marcellin, and Merlot.
Okay. Let's taste the Albarino, because it's such a great wine.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
This wine was made for Vancouver, because we have such great seafood here. And this wine, it seems so simpatico. It's very Spanish, too, eh?
Yeah.
To have this growing in Uruguay is interesting.
Yeah. As you said, it's a grape from Rías Baixas. And I think it makes total sense that we have it in Garzón, because we have the conditions of granitic soils, proximity to the ocean, and rain. We have a lot of rain, 1,800 millimeters a year, just like Rías Baixas.
Yeah.
But this wine, it's perfect for today. Today, the sun is out.
Yeah.
And tomorrow is going to be even better. So this is, to me, is a sip of spring and summer in a glass.
Yeah. You know what I love about this festival? Because La Rioja Alta is in the tasting room. I don't know if you know that winery, but they make an incredible Albarino. You have to go over there with yours and taste with them and get them to come over and taste with you. I think that's the best part of, you know, drinking wine.
And I think it's the fascinating part of the festival, that you can go to different countries, just in one room, compare the grapes. It's a great educational, event.
Yeah, and I think, and the folks are pretty smart who come to the tables now. They have a lot of questions.
Yeah, because they study before.
Yeah, they study a lot, yeah. They're very competitive. Oh, that's such a delicious wine, and for people in Vancouver, it's not very expensive, this wine. It's in the low 20s, I think, and it's a perfect wine for summer here.
You can find it here, in the room of in the festival,
and
to me, as I said, it's when they asked me the descriptors of my Albarino, it's basically white flesh peaches made love to magnolia flowers in an oyster shell bed.
Wow. There
so
you go, folks.
You have the florals, you have the fruitiness, but you have at the same time this kind of minerality that is very distinctive of
you have this electricity of the acidity and the minerality, which really lifts the wine. That's why it's so great with oysters and shellfish and, whatever. Maybe just good with a friend, you know, outside on the patio.
The patio.
Yeah.
Sunset, moonrise.
Okay, I don't want to run out of time. Let's talk about the Tanat Reserva. So, Tanat, how would you describe the Tanat? Let's hear your description. I love the Albarino. Let's hear how this red wine goes.
Tanat, for me, everybody says, oh, it's a beast. It's a muscular man in silk pajamas. No, for me, it's a ballerina. It's an elegant, beautiful woman that has core and muscles in her legs, but finesse and elegance.
Yeah.
This is a team Tanat. It's a beautiful, beautiful red wine.
This wine is 100% Uruguay, but I must say, it doesn't have the fingerprint of Antonini, but it has the soul of Antonini. The way that this wine was made, the texture is just incredible.
Smooth. It's a black. It's a velvet glove.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a Tanat from the south of France, you can taste the tannin for about 5 days, which is probably why it's called Tanat. But this wine is just gorgeous and so young. You know, 10 years from now, this wine will be the same.
Even
better in the bottle.
And you can feel, as you mentioned, the voltage and the tension of the acidity. That's a common denominator in all Garçon wines. And that acidity is going to keep this wine alive forever. So buy a few cases.
Okay. We got a minute left. Can you invite people from Canada to come and visit Garçon in Uruguay? It's easy to do. It's fun.
Garçon is a place that you need to experience.
Yeah.
We own the number one restaurant and winery to visit by the Decanter magazine. You can play golf. You can ride horses, bicycles, go to the beach, and taste these beautiful wines with our food.
And you can experience the olive oil, which is even more interesting.
Oh, my gosh,
so fantastic.
Fantastic land.
Mainly, so great to catch up with you.
Well,
enjoy your few days in Vancouver. Will you go out eating and drinking at night?
Yes, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful gastronomy in Vancouver.
So great to see you. Thanks so much.
Happy to be here.
Okay, that was Mele Sosa. She's an enologist from Bodega Garçon, and she's coming to you from the 44th Vancouver International Wine Festival, just outside the on-site BCL store. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi. Presented in part by Therapy Vineyards and Inn. With 5 luxury suites in the heart of Naramata wine country. Online at therapyvineyards.com.
Penticton, an incredible place for a romantic escape this summer. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries and sample the newest releases. Dine out and experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants too. After dinner, take a stroll along one of the beaches and enjoy the lake views. It's the ideal destination for a summer getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan, and our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. One area I love to know more about is Lake Cowichan. Tell us about this special gem.
Well, Lake Cowichan is the most inland of Cowichan's communities. It's situated on Vancouver Island's largest lakes, and it's well known as a paradise for boating, hiking, and camping. Lake Cowichan is also the gateway to Port Renfrew and the world-famous Carmana-Walbrin Provincial Park.
Sounds like it's one of those places to slow down and just enjoy.
Definitely. Lake Cowichan is surrounded by nature. So whether you're camping, staying in a B&B, or renting a houseboat, the lake is your playground for activities like swimming, paddling, water skiing, and fishing. Another really popular activity is tubing down the Cowichan River. This is actually a Canadian heritage river that runs right through the town.
That sounds great. What else can visitors do while they're in the Lake Cowichan area?
You can also visit the Katsa Station Museum to learn about the town's history. You can easily drive to nearby communities of Yubo and Honeymoon Bay. The Yubo Bar and Grill is a local's favorite to enjoy the lakeside views and delicious food. And Honeymoon Bay is beautiful and has a terrific outdoor farmers market during the summer months.
And what about community events? Are there some that we should be aware of?
Yeah, definitely. Just minutes outside of Lake Cowichan is Laketown Ranch, which is a premier festival park. It hosts Sunfest, Western Canada's largest country music festival, and Laketown Shakedown, an awesome 3-day music festival that happens over Canada Day weekend. Also at Laketown Ranch is the Cowichan Valley Bluegrass Festival, which happens in June and is a great family-friendly event.
Sounds great. It sounds like a magical place to live and visit, and of course, lots of good wine available to drink. Thanks so much for painting us a picture of Lake Cowichan.
You're most welcome.
Make your plan to visit Lake Cowichan at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Oh, BC, we're back on this fabulous summer week. I hope you're enjoying it at home, and I hope you enjoy our weekly podcast whenever you can catch it on your favorite podcast provider. This day, we take the time to celebrate the great weather and look back at some of the discussions we had at the Vancouver National Wine Festival. One of the most intriguing people at the festival, and we were very delighted to catch up with him, was Jose Luis Navarro. He's the export manager for La Rioja Alta, one of Spain's most beloved and respected Rioja producers. If you want to learn something about Tempranillo, listen up now.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's so great to have you here in Vancouver and to talk a bit about Rioja and Tempranillo. I thought we'd maybe have a little master class from you. Let's start with La Rioja. What's the compact story about this unique winery?
Well, La Rioja Alta was established in 1890 by five families from a little town called Aro. which in that time it was the hub from where the people from Bordeaux source their wine after the Philox era.
Yeah.
So that is how La Rioja Alta was born.
So a strong French influence at the start.
Yes, yeah. Yes, from the beginning. Even our first wine maker was Mr. Vignier, yeah. Coming from Bordeaux.
So did you squeeze the French out of these guys after a while? Or?
Yeah.
So that's a long time to be running a winery, a successful winery too. And what is the focus there, would you say? How would you describe the focus of the winery today?
Well, we our focus is the same focus that when the winery born, quality and patience.
Yeah.
We don't play with quality, and we are patient enough to age the wines long enough.
Long periods of time.
Yeah, our wines stay in the winery. Our youngest wine, 4 years, and the longest, 14 years.
Yeah. So in fact, you have like 9 million bottles, is that correct, in the winery at the moment?
That's totally right. 9 million bottles, that, to give you perspective, if we stop making wine today, we can supply the market for 9 years.
Yeah. So would you describe it as a classic producer of classic Rioja?
Yes. We describe ourselves classic, but we like to call ourselves Vanguard Classic. So classic, but not that classic.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, a little bit modern.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, tell us about Tempranillo. I mean, it's a grape that, you know, we hear about in Rioja. What's the story of Tempranillo? What can you tell us about it?
Well, Tempranillo, the meaning of Tempranillo means early. Because Tempranillo, traditionally, as you know, in the Northern Hemisphere, the harvest normally is in late September, beginning of October. Yep. Tempranillo is harvest. Was harvest in August,
yeah.
Right? Obviously, with the weather, the climate change, things are getting interesting. Mm-hmm. But is that the Tempranillo? It's especially in Rioja. It's a grape size like a Cabernet.
Yep.
That thinner skin.
Yeah.
So the Tempranillo is that way, no? Tasting profile, I would say it's something between Merlot and Cabernet.
Yeah.
That in the middle.
But it seems to age well.
Like, yes.
You keep it a long time, but it ages well generally. Sometimes those varieties you would think wouldn't age that well, but we see it for many years. Like how old can you keep a Tempranillo?
Well, especially in Rioja and especially in La Rioja Alta, wines are meant to be aged or to last at least 40, 50 years in a good condition.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, I have tasted a couple of wines from 1970, and they were good.
Yeah.
I mean, they were drinkable. Well,
why do they have such patience?
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for the wineries, but in our case, or the Barrio de la Estación, which is the neighborhood, the train station neighborhood,
yeah.
Is because the tradition, right? It's like the French people taught us, and it's how we keep the style of La Rioja Alta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That old war style leather tobacco notes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a couple of wines. You brought a couple of wines along with you. The Vigna Alberdi. This is the 2018 Reserva.
That's right. Vigna Alberdi gets the name from one of the founder family.
Okay.
Actually, it's the president is coming from this family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 100% Tempranillo. In fact, it's a blend of Tempranillos. With 2 years in American oak and 2 years in bottle.
Okay.
So 4 years before we release it.
Yeah.
And tasting profile, it's all war style. It's a leather, tobacco notes, cigar box.
Yeah.
And since it's the youngest Reserva, a little bit of fruit, pretty well blended and polished.
Yeah.
What we do different too for all our wines is that we do manual rackings.
Yeah. Manual, right? So you're taking the wine out of the barrel, putting it back in another barrel, or you know, oxygenating it, basically.
Yes.
How many times would you do that?
We do one time every 6 months.
Okay.
Every single oak barrel, one time every 6 months. So if this wine has 2 years, it's 4 times.
Right. And we sort of skipped over, but how would you? What are the terms that they go by in Spain for aging? So the young wine is is Crianta?
Yes.
So that's the first level, or there's actually, is there Joven? Is that different?
It's a Joven. Yeah,
it's a Joven.
It's called, in Rioja, it's called Cosecha.
Okay, Cosecha,
it's Cosecha, which
wine
is
with
a little bit of in oak, like 6 months,
yep.
And then a little bit of bottle.
Yeah.
Then it's Crianza, which is 1 year in oak, 1 year in bottle.
Yeah.
Then it's Reserva, 24 months in oak, and 1 year in bottle.
Yeah.
And then it's Reserva, which is 48. And then Grand Reserva, which is 60 months.
Wow. 60 months.
60 months, at least.
Yeah.
At least. But we have Grand Reservas that spend 14 years.
Yeah.
So.
Must be quite a job to keep those barrels clean and in good shape. They used to be pretty old barrels. You've changed that a bit?
Yes. Normally, I mean, there are producers in Rioja Alta that their old barrels are up to 15, 20 years old.
Yeah.
We have been transitioning to more modern style, and our old barrels goes to 4 or 5 years old. This is why we call ourselves Vanguard Classic, right?
Right on. My guest is Jose Luis Navarro, and he is from La Rioja Alta, and we just tasted the Viña Alberti, and now we're going to talk about the Viña Ardanza. This is a completely different animal.
Totally different. An interesting thing from our winery is that we don't follow the classic rules from Rioja, right? There is an Ardanza Reserva, but there is no Crianza or Gran Reserva Ardanza.
Right.
So every wine of us has its own personality and its own style.
Yeah.
So Ardanza gets the name from another family, right?
Yeah.
From the family Ardanza. And it's a blend. It's 80% Tempranillo, 20% Grenache, Garnacha, 3 years in American oak, and 2 years in bottle. So 5 years before we release it.
Yeah.
We are drinking the 2015 vintage.
Yeah.
After this, it will come the 16. And after that, a little bit of 17, and we skip one vintage.
Yeah, this wine is the current wine. It's 8 years old, so it's ready. Like it, you can drink it now, or you can wait.
Exactly, you can drink it or wait 30 years.
Yeah. What for our friends in Canada, for Rioja? What would you recommend? What would be some of the perfect things to serve with it in terms of food, like?
Well, obviously, I think the perfect pairing for Rioja wines, in my opinion, it would be lamb or beef, you know, a nice steak with some fat, you know, a cut with some fat would be awesome. But why not a tuna or a cod, you know, a fatty fish?
Yeah.
I think it pairs really well with that.
Yeah. Maybe even turkey would be interesting, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, why not? A roast turkey.
Yeah. Well, are you enjoying your stay in Vancouver?
I always enjoy my stay in Vancouver. Yeah. It's,
the food is good here.
The food is really good.
Yeah.
I'm super surprised for all the food and beverage scheme in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Super high quality restaurants.
I always say, like, Vancouver's very Asian. Miami is very Latino. So I don't know what's going to happen in the middle of America, somewhere in Montana when we meet.
Yeah.
The food is going to be really interesting there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So great to chat with you and to get a little insight into Tempranillo. All of these wines, I think we're going to see more and more wines from La Rioja Alta in this marketplace. They seem to...
I hope so.
You'd like to sell some more here, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
And obviously...
such a great old name.
When the Grande Reservas arrive, that is going to be a big hit here.
Yeah. Yeah,
so.
We didn't even talk. There's a couple of really famous wines from the winery 904
and 819.
And 819.
Yes.
Yeah, which, you know, collectors will know those wines well. But this is a serious winery. It's so great to see it in Vancouver, and we're happy to have it here. That was Jose Luis Navarro. He's the export area manager for La Rioja Alta, and a chat we had at the Vancouver International Wine Festival earlier this year. The next festival is just around the corner. It'll be here before you know it, as it slides back into its usual slot time in February, late February 2024. And Italy will be the theme. That is going to be a gas. That's it for today's show. Enjoy this summer weather and have a great week ahead.
That's it for today's show, presented in part by Therapy Vineyards and Inn. Online at therapyvineyards.com.